Hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Investor's Digest Market Update with the December 2019 review. So depending on what format you're watching this, if you're listening to the Investor's Journey podcast, I definitely suggest you head over to YouTube or to our website at primehomes.com to sign up to our Investor's Digest newsletter so that you can get a copy of this and really see what it is that I'm going over, because it's one thing to listen to when it's just a bunch of numbers and stats, but it's a whole nother thing to really conceptualize and look at not only listen to the words that I'm saying, but see the pictures and the graphs that I'm going over to really kind of let some of this data sink in. So if you're listening to the podcast, head over to YouTube or the website and sign up. And if you are watching this on YouTube or getting it via the newsletter, email, I definitely suggest going over to wherever you get your favorite podcasts and tune into our Investor's Journey podcast, where we go over our investor's journey as we go through and learn the real estate industry. And there's a lot of stuff that John puts out there as far as tips and tricks and things that we're handling in our business to help us grow and the things that we're learning. So without further ado, let's get into this market update. Soon as I can get, there we go. So the numbers overview, now this is basically October, November, December. So it depends on where the statistics I get it from, on where and how up to date this information is. And I already see a small mistake, and I'll get to that. But the average sales price for here in San Antonio as of November was up 1.5% year over year to $263,723. Median sales price up 3.7% from November of last year to 215. Total sales was flat, roughly about the same number of sales as the last year November, but it was 2,407. Average. Now remember that number too. That is going to play an important role later on. That how many sales happened in a certain month of the 2,407. So average rental price was up 1.9% from this time last year to 1,466. So it's always great, as for all the landlords out there, to see rents continue to increase and prices to continue to increase. It's like kind of a double-edged sword that you get more rent and you also get more equity in property. So it's always good to see. Employment is creeping up on just over 1.2 million, and we're at 1.192 million, which is a 3.23% increase from this time last year. So that's really good to see, get into the threes. Usually we're holding around 1% to 2% increase as far as jobs added year over year. But that's good to see, 3%. We gained 13,394 jobs from the previous month, so that's awesome that we're hiring. That's a good rate of hiring. 2.91% unemployment, 0.05% decrease from the previous month. That is, I believe, a record low or really close to it. And that's below the Texas average, and that's below the national average. So having a very low unemployment is fantastic for here in our market, because it shows that people are employed. There's stressors on the employment industry, so that's going to try to get people to raise prices to compete, to get those people to work for them. And if people are getting paid more, there's a potential that they can afford more and they're going to be buying more houses. So everybody knows that we are in a shortage for housing by a very large margin. So to see those low unemployment rates is fantastic, because that means that there's a potential that they're going to get paid more and prices are going to go up, and it's a more competitive market, so they can rent for more and they can pay more for housing. So that's going to increase equity. Months of inventory. This is that little mistake that I forgot to switch this over to the December. Our months of inventory was 4.45. It's a 0.54% increase from the previous month. Now remember, if that's your first time tuning in or you've been a long time listener, the months of inventory is how we really gauge, are we in a buyer's market or a seller's market? And it's kind of the tried and true that 6 months of inventory is there's no negotiating strength between buyer and seller. The lower that number gets, that means that you're more in a seller's market, because there's not enough housing. That means the seller has more negotiating power, because there's a supply and demand is off. So the lower that number gets, the more people are trying to buy houses, the faster houses are being consumed. That means there's less that the seller really needs to concede on when it comes to negotiations and as far as cleaning up the house. So how that's really computed is basically, if the same number of houses were purchased and no new more houses were listing and it stayed at that same rate, how long would it take for all the housing to disappear? So if no new houses got listed and that same 2407 houses stayed on the market, it would take 4.45 months for all of the houses to be sold on the market. So that tells you we're about 9,500 houses for sale here in the San Antonio market. So that is a number that we watch closely to see how that's really tracking to know if we're in a buyer or seller market. Now, December is basically your lowest months, or you're going to be your highest months inventory, December, January, and then it kind of starts ticking down from there where we'll get down into the threes. And I think we've broken into the high twos once before during the summertime, but that's always going to be your kind of standard is your summertime going to be the lowest months inventory. And this is exactly why the median sales price. So it shows sales volume compared to sales price. So a lot of people start buying here in those April, May, June, July timeframes, and then it kind of slows down from there. That's the big selling season. So for us here at Prime Homes, we love trying to pick up times or pick up housing this time of year because it's the slowest time. The sellers are more motivated to sell. There's not as many buyers in the market. And by the time we buy them, renovate them, get them back on the market, we're hitting here this April, May timeframe that the month's inventory goes down, the median sales price go up, and the sales volume goes up. So that means a lot more houses can really turn over and get sold that time of year. So this really portrays is the cycles. It goes up summer, down winter, up summer, down winter. And that really kind of holds tried and true. And you'll get a little bump right here around the December, January timeframe of people trying to get into housing there on the new year so they can be in a new home come that Christmas time. So that's kind of the standard. And I believe we saw that this year as well. Monthly rents. So, I mean, basically what you're going to say is that hopefully when I get the December median sales price, I expect to see a little bit of a spike up to like the 217, 220 price range. Monthly rents follows pretty much the same pattern. I mean, a little more rockier on the way down in the wintertime, but up summer, down winter, up summer, down winter. So for us and all you landlords out there, we structure every one of our leases to end on April 30th. It doesn't matter if I'm renting on the beginning of April or I'm renting in September. I'm going to structure that either an 8 month, 7 month, 18 month, 11 month. I want every house to go vacant right there around that April timeframe so that I'm hitting the market. If I need to do a renovation, I can get it on the market right around this time frame and get a new high-paying tenant in that area and hopefully keep them for a couple cycles. But when they do move out, because they eventually all will move out, I can get into that property, renovate it, and get it back on the market and get another tenant right. Because this also follows the same, like as far as the sales prices of like the most houses rented, the most competitive market to get housing is in this time frame. So a lot of people are moving around the country. Jobs are coming here. Jobs are being created. People need housing. They're going to move that April, May, June, July time frame. So I want to have my housing available for that big wave of potential renters and tenants that come in. Unemployment. This wasn't the lowest. We definitely hit 2.57 back in May of this year. But you can see kind of the cycles. And the reason I track this is you can really see, if you think back to people that know much about the last recession, it started around that 2008 timeframe and really bottomed out around 2009. Well, you can look back a few slides and you can see that real estate prices didn't bottom out till 2011. So peak unemployment hit in 2009, and it took 2 years to find the bottom of real estate. So this really shoots up. That's the reason I track this stuff. So if I see 0.5%, 1% climbs in unemployment rate at a very rapid rate, I'm going to really start looking around like, okay, what's going on? Because I know that by looking at historically, it takes real estate trails behind the unemployment rate and some of the economic indicators. So that might give me a couple months to be like, all right, we really need to shift strategies, or we need bigger discounts on properties because something's changing in the market and it could affect our real estate prices. Overall year-over-year appreciation averages. So going back to the slide up here, the data that I can collect, what has been the average appreciation? Because you can see from the bottom of 2011, we're at $135,000 median sales price, and we peaked out at, I believe, like $230,000. So it's $100,000 appreciation in 8 years. So what has been that average appreciation over the time frame to see what's really going on? Total average of the time that I can collect It was 5.1% year over year. Well, now our 12-month trailing average is only at 4.3. And you can kind of really see this to where it really shot up and was hitting tens there for a couple years of year-over-year appreciations, even getting to 11 in 2015. And it's really kind of just slow down from that point. And I think that's where we're getting to that affordability that issue that you hear a lot of people talking about. And so it's not slowing down, but the average that it is appreciating is slowing down, if that makes sense. So instead of hitting those 5% year-over-year averages, we're hitting 4.3. So it's still good. The pricing is going up year-over-year. It's just not going up as fast. And I think that's because we were at such a deep recession. It's taking some time for those wages to really increase and see that kind of trickle down to our end buyers that are purchasing houses and they're being capped on what they can really afford. So now where to market based on that month's inventory? I do it two ways, one by zip code and then another by price range so you can see this. Now remember, back to the slide, there's 2,400 sales that were done in the month of November. And now I always look at where is the bulk of pricing houses being purchased. Well, 1,000 of them right there. And even if you count that 250, 300 or 1,300 of them are sold right here. Almost over a third of all of the housing sold is in that 150 to 250 price range. So for us, and that kind of reflects into the month's inventory. Remember, the lower the number, the more of a seller market it is and the harder it is for buyers to purchase housing. This really has shifted over the last couple of years since I've been doing this because it used to be 100 to 200, but that pricing has been so much, so many people have bought homes in that price range. It has really pushed those prices up. So houses that used to be selling 3-4 years ago in the 100 to 150, I now move up to the 150, 200 and the same kind of thing. So there's a lot of demand for housing in that 150 to 250 price range, which is why for us, if we're buying rental property, it's in this price range. I want it to be 100 to 200 price range. I mean, sub 200s, because that's where the most demand for those housing is. So that is something we use in our business is we want housing 150 to 250, whether it's renovation or rental property. We like to stay in that price range as much as possible because this is the slowest time of the year is right now, and it is still a very demanding or in-demand product to be putting on the market. Now, change of property sold, it's no surprise to see all these being negative considering we're heading into the slow months of the year. So that I will expect to see come positive here in the next couple months, but it's no surprise to see this kind of slowing down heading into November, December, January timeframe. Now by zip code, where's the most in-demand zip code? And it's no surprise to see a lot of these. Let's see, we got one that's over 250, two that's over 250, three over 250. So of the top 10 zip codes, only three of them have an average sales price over that $250,000 price point that I was telling you about. So it's no surprise to see a lot of these most in-demand housing with the lowest months of inventory being in these zip codes. Now, how does that really translate to year-over-year appreciation? Well, I've been doing this long enough now that I can go back almost 2 years and soon three to see what has the appreciation been with this low months of inventory. So this is why we target these areas, why we like to buy rental property in these areas. Because you can see in the top zip code, 78250, which is a very, very large zip code on the northwest side of San Antonio, has gone from 164 to 188. So now that zip code actually cash flows as well for rental property. So now if you're able to get $300-$400 a month cash flow off that thing, and then now in 2 years your price has gone up $24,000 in appreciation, that is fantastic news. So that's why we love picking up rental property in this area. And we also like flipping in this area for the fact that, or these areas, because of the price points and the demand that we are seeing driven to those zip codes. So now where's the highest months of inventory? Now this is not to say these are bad zip codes to purchase in and renovate in, but there's a lot more competition, meaning months of inventory. Remember that balanced market of 6 months of inventory? So now tipping above 6%, showing that there's a little bit of more of a buyer's advantage to purchasing home because there's more inventory and not as many buyers trying to buy that housing, or there's just a bunch of housing on here because 78201, it's a low price zip code. Same thing with 78202. A lot of these are downtown areas. They're kind of lower price zip codes, but there's a lot of inventory sitting on there. So if I'm a buyer going to buy in this area, I know that I can look at a ton of housing and really pick the best cream of the crop for the housing in that zip code. So now for these higher priced ones, how to use this data is to not only say look at your zip code, but also look at your neighborhood and see how many houses are on the market. If you're only seeing 2-3 houses being sold a month and there's 20 houses in that zip code, you really want to make sure you're getting a really good steep discount on the house if you're going to be flipping it, because you might be sitting in the market for a while, or if you get it low enough, that means you need to put more money into your listing, into the kitchens, the baths, the nicer flooring, the landscaping, professional pictures, staging. You're going to need to spend more money to make sure you are not that standard house that's sitting on the market for 6 months. You can get it sold in a month or two or three. Maybe giving a bit of a discount on the price and doing a nice renovation, if your budget allows, will get your house sold quicker than some of these other ones that might be sitting in the market for 6 months. So that's why I say these aren't bad zip codes, but they are a little bit more tricky when it comes into renovating. You do a little more due diligence when you are buying those properties. And you can see in some of these have gone down the last couple of years. And that's saying that you're hitting a price point where they're not appreciating as much. So you need to take that into account. That's why for us, we love staying in this zip code, because let's see, pretty much every single one of these, 217 stayed flat, 216 down a little bit, up a little bit, but most of them have gone up $10,000 to $20,000. That's why we like to stay renovating in that area and holding rental property in that area. Versus here, where in 2 years some of these haven't gone up a whole lot, or they've kind of gone back a little bit. Unless you have like some of these really high price zip codes like 78006. This is, I believe, out towards the Bernie area. You have some high price housing out there with the Dominion and stuff. So those have gone up as well, but you still have extremely high price or high months of inventory. So be cautious when you're flipping over there. And with that, that kind of concludes this month's review of the December market update here in San Antonio. If you guys have any questions or comments, please shoot me an email at john@primehomes.com. And check us out, if you're getting this another way, our Investor's Journey podcast. Or if you're listening to the podcast, head over to primehomes.com to make sure you can get a copy of these slides so you can really kind of see what this stuff is and how what I'm saying actually translates, and you can see it in a graph and actually see the numbers to really put the whole picture together. Very active on social media, so give us a shout out on any of the social platforms. And otherwise, we will see you guys next month. Take care.